What is time, and when did it begin? These are deep questions, and here to help answer them is Thomas Hertog, author of the New York Times bestseller On the Origin of Time, Stephen Hawking's Final Theory. Thomas is a renowned cosmologist who was a close collaborator of Hawking, the late physicist widely considered one of the greatest minds of recent times. The two men worked together for some 20 years, developing a theory of how the laws of physics came to be the way they are. And Thomas joins us now to share some key insights from their work.
Hi, I am Thomas Hertog. I'm a professor of theoretical cosmology at the University of Leuven in Belgium, and I have written a book. It's called On the Origin of Time, Stephen Hawking's Final Theory. In my book, I tell the story of my years-long collaboration with Hawking and what we found out about the cosmos. And I'm going to share with you five key insights from my book. Insight number one: the Big Bang matters. What do I mean by this? You might say, well, the Big Bang happened a long time ago, it's over and done with, why should I bother? Well, Hawking and I came to a different view. And the reason has to do with the baffling observation that our universe is very special, that down at the level of physics, it has just the right properties for life to be possible. It's almost as if it was designed for life. Now that sounds crazy. And it is. Why did the Big Bang get it just right? Now in the old days, it was thought that design meant there had to be a designer. Or say a final cause, like Aristotle had it, saying that the universe was destined to be one day our home. Today, scientists point to the laws of physics, to the rules that underpin the evolution of the universe. These laws have a number of striking life-engendering properties. For example, there is enough matter in the universe to form stars and galaxies. The particle forces are delicately balanced so that we can have complex atoms and molecules. Our universe doesn't expand too fast. And we have three dimensions of space and one clean arrow of time that drives evolution. If you change any of these properties of the laws of physics, even ever so slightly, then life would hang in the balance. So where do the laws of physics come from? Presumably, these were imprinted on the universe at its birth. So to grasp the deeper origin of the universe's fitness for life, we must look far back in time to the Big Bang beginning. So this first insight is that there is a mind-boggling arc that relates our existence today to the physical conditions at the Big Bang origin, 13.8 billion years ago. Thinking about the Big Bang is thinking about us. It's thinking about our deepest roots. Insight number two. There's nothing before the Big Bang because there was no time. We often think of the Big Bang as some sort of explosion that happened in a space that already existed. But that isn't quite correct. It looks like the Big Bang is not just an explosion, but a much more fundamental beginning, namely the beginning of time. That idea, the idea that time had a beginning, was championed in science and cosmology as far back as the early 1930s. In fact, it goes back to the work of the Belgian priest astronomer Georges Lemaître, who was working with Einstein's theory of gravity and who realized that Einstein's theory predicts that the universe expands. And then Lemaître had a clever idea to turn back time and to trace the evolution of the universe all the way back. And he found that space and time and matter, in a sense, destroy themselves in a moment in the past, which became known as the Big Bang. Somewhat ironically, Albert Einstein famously rejected that idea because it reminded him of Christian dogma. Georges Lemaître was a priest, I presume that didn't help. But eventually, Stephen Hawking and Roger Penrose proved Lemaître right. In relativistic cosmology, in Einstein's theory of gravity, space and time have a beginning. So this suggests that the universe was not made in time, but with time. It is as if we finally found something without a cause. The Big Bang does not have a cause because there is no prior time available for causality to be possible. And so ever since, the origin of time has been the cornerstone, but also the Achilles heel of Big Bang cosmology. The cornerstone because it seems to explain wonderfully well all our observations about the universe, but the Achilles heel because its deeper origin, let alone why the Big Bang got it just right for life to be possible, that has remained a profound mystery. Insight number 3. It is Darwin all the way down. Now, this is the crux of the hypothesis that Stephen and I put forward. You know that ever since Darwin's theory of evolution, there has been a bit of a schism between biology on the one hand and physics on the other hand. Biological evolution since Darwin is all about change. We think of the laws of biology as the result of evolution and not as eternal truths. But physics is also about change, of course. But we think it rests on immutable principles, on mathematical equations that we call the laws of physics and that we think of as just a little bit more fundamental than the laws of biology. Well, Hawking and I arrived at a different picture. We looked back at the very earliest stages of the universe, and we did so using quantum theory. And when you do so, you find a deeper level of evolution, a level at which the laws of physics co-evolve together with the primeval universe that is taking shape. A sort of Darwinian-like process of variation and selection playing out in the most primitive environment of the Big Bang. Going back to the earliest of times, the laws of physics simplify. The different forces and particle species merge with one another, and ultimately, in our theory, even the distinction between space and time fades away. So the crux of our cosmogenesis, if you wish, is that this drive towards more simplicity and less structure in the early universe continues all the way down, and that in the end, it's evolution that wins. Not the laws as such, but their capacity to change and evolve has the final word in the theory that we put forward. Of course, this is a grand new hypothesis, hence the title of my book, On the Origin of Time, is a variation, of course, of Darwin's title on the origin of species. We are essentially saying that biological evolution and cosmological evolution aren't fundamentally separate, distinct phenomena, but two vastly different levels of one giant evolutionary tree. So above all, we are saying that the broad principles of Darwinism, that quintessential biological scheme, that these reach all the way down into the deepest level of evolution that we can imagine. This is a profound and powerful unity in nature. And so, in fact, it's proper indeed that Hawking's ashes in Westminster Abbey are buried in between the graves of Newton and Darwin. Insight number 4. Now, hold your breath for this one. The universe may be a hologram. So this one is about the mathematical embedding of our hypothesis. And the mathematics behind our hypothesis is not easy. This is because this is about, ultimately, intermingling quantum theory and gravity, the small and the large. And that marriage is a notoriously difficult one. Out of that marriage, we came to envisage the earliest stages of the universe much like a holographic projection. You remember that in a familiar hologram, a third dimension of space emerges from the lines and scribbles on a screen. Now, in the cosmos as hologram idea that we have developed, it is rather the dimension of time that holographically emerges. Now, Stephen and I found that it helps to think of this holographic projection of the early evolution of the universe if we think about it as a disk. A little bit like Escher's famous projection of angels and demons on a disk-like image. In our holographic projection of the early universe, as a disk, the origin of the universe would lie at the center of the disk, and the universe would expand outward in the radial direction towards the edge. The edge of the disk would much be like the universe today. Now, it is that edge of the disk that plays the role of a holographic screen in our theory. It is on that screen that we envision in a countless number of quantum particles an abstract representation of the reality as we perceive it. So it would almost be as if there is a code operating at the edge of that disk on the many entangled qubits, and that code brings about the past history of the universe, and that operation is what we perceive as the flow of time. How do we go back in time using these holographic ideas? Well, you do so by taking a fuzzier view of the hologram at the edge. One ventures farther back in time towards the interior of the disk by taking a blurry view of the screen at the edge. It is a bit like zooming out. Now, eventually, however, you run out of bits. And that process, running out of bits towards the interior of the disk, would be the origin of time. There can be nothing before the Big Bang in this theory, because the past that holographically emerges from the screen doesn't extend further backward. Insight number 5. This is a more philosophical one, and an insight with a slight personal touch. And it is that as the upshot of our discovery journey, Stephen Hawking changed his mind on the deeper nature of physics, on what it is that physics ultimately find out about the world. You see, the younger Hawking sought a deeper understanding of the universe's apparent design in the physical conditions at the origin of time. He assumed that there was a fundamental causal explanation hidden deep in the mathematics governing the Big Bang that determines why the universe is the way it is. That is, the younger Hawking assumed there was a final theory of physics hovering above the universe, or even the multiverse, much like an eternal truth. The later Hawking realized that his earlier alter ego had made a mistake. Our fresh Darwinian-like perspective on the earliest stages of the universe rejects the idea that the universe is like a machine governed by unconditional laws with some sort of prior existence. It rather radiates the idea that the universe is more like a self-organizing entity in which all sorts of emergent patterns appear, and the most general one we call the laws of physics. So you might say that in our new cosmology, physics itself fades away back into the Big Bang. The Big Bang in our theory isn't so much the beginning of time, but more like the beginning of laws. It's almost an epistemic horizon involving no space, no time, and no physical laws. So, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy my detective story down in the Chamber of Secrets of the Big Bang.
Thank you, Thomas. That was Thomas Hertog with 5 big ideas from On the Origin of Time, Stephen Hawking's final theory. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.